This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today we are going to be talking about today's youth and the impact, literally the impact, that John Mullen is making here in Winona with the Impact Center. But, John, you have requested Diet Pepsi.
Yes,
sir. So I've got us a couple of them. I actually threw them in the freezer before you got here.
Wonderful.
Perfect. So we'll cheers these bad boys, and we'll get into this.
Right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
With all the hot days we've had, this is a nice cold drink to have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, John, you and me, we actually met, let's say about 7-8 years ago, actually, when I was teaching. And I was actually, I taught two of your kids now.
Yep.
I taught Bree and then Jackson.
Yep.
And both great kids. Jackson was a hoot to have, and he came for us last year, which was fun, and we had such good times. But I've actually known you for quite some time, but you're now literally doing things within the community called the Impact Center,
yep.
And I don't know much about it other than I know you. Mm-hmm. I've seen the van, and I know it's about youth, but I know that there's so much more that you'll get into for us here. But just in a brief synopsis, what is the Impact Center? In a summary.
Sure. So the Impact Center is a free youth center that's open to all kids in grades K through 12. So what I kind of compare us to, because it gives people an idea of our program, although we're not affiliated in any way, is like a Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
Yep. So growing up in Winona, we didn't have anything like that necessarily. And so when I started this, I wanted something that was structured, something where we would, accomplish some things with the kids each night, but something that would also be fun so that they'd want to come back each day.
Sure. Yeah. And then, that's a tough thing with kids, wanting them to come back, but also still learn at the same time.
Yeah.
Not always the easiest thing I know because of education.
Yeah.
So you have to find that little area of fun and educational where something impacts their brain and they go, yes, I want to learn more about that, and right. Here's a good place for that.
Yeah,
so you
right.
said it's like a Boys and Girls Club, then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just located right here in Winona?
Yep, right down on 2nd Street here, if you know where Grace Place is.
Yep.
We rent the western half of that building. I also happen to be the director of Grace Place, nonprofit as well, so I kind of wear two different hats here. But Impact Center and Grace Place are two separate entities, two separate nonprofits that I get to manage. So
how did it all get started? Was this your vision or a multiple people that had this idea?
It was my vision. It kind of started where I fell upon I wanted to volunteer in the community somewhere. I wanted to get involved with some things. And so I've always enjoyed working with kids. And, my wife, Tina, and I have 4 kids of our own. So I came upon this volunteer opportunity. It was like an after-school program working with kids. We were helping them with homework. Besides that, we would just kind of hang out, play cards, whatever it was, just kind of be there for the kids. And the kids we were working with and dealing with were, we would probably consider them at-risk youth. I mean, they were dealing with some pretty pretty difficult situations at home, had come from some pretty, devastating circumstances. So working with these kids, it was very rewarding for me because we started building relationships. You know, the kids started really to trust me after a while. They saw in me someone, an adult who really cared for them sincerely. And so we started to form some cool relationships with the kids, with the children's families and things like that. And that was kind of the start of me kind of really really realizing how much I liked working with kids.
Sure. Yeah. And so I assume that a lot of the kids probably come from maybe a broken family of some sort.
Correct.
So I can understand how that might be kind of difficult to try to form a trusting relationship with the child, because from what they might know is, hey, this person either left me or didn't care about me enough. Mm-hmm. And now here you are, a guy that you've maybe just met at the time, and now you have to try to form a relationship that's a trusting one as well. So I assume that you get to see that firsthand.
Yes.
And that's got to be, I would say, quite rewarding, because just knowing the aspect of teaching, when something clicks with a kid or you have a relationship, it's really cool to see how they gravitate towards you. Mm-hmm. Is there like one moment that you remember someone that just it stuck out and you're like, oh, I can definitely tell I made impact on that child at that point?
You know, I don't think it was just one child. I think, as you said, a lot of these children were coming from homes where, you know, the dad wasn't there. He wasn't involved. So being a male figure in their life, they really gravitated towards me. And, you know, just the relationships and the way that they just kind of, you know, put their trust in me, and then that they wanted to spend time with, you know, an adult male figure who showed interest in them.
Sure.
And sincerely, you know, that was just really, really rewarding. And it was such a worthwhile activity that, I started to really dream about how I could do this, as a living, you know, make as a profession.
Sure. Yeah. And that's not easy to have something where you're helping out the community, a lot of times volunteer, mm-hmm. to actually make a profession of it and try to keep it going. Because as you said, it's a nonprofit. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
So from what I understand about that, it probably means everything's like a donation. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's not easy to do. So how do you have to go out and ask people for donations, or do you guys put on events for donations, or how does that all work? Because I feel like that would be a really tough part of your job. Yeah. I feel like getting along with the kids and making an impact, that's probably the easier part. Yeah. Trying to get the donations always seems like it might be the harder part.
Yeah, that is definitely a challenge. It can be challenging. You know, what we saw, so we're about to start year three. As the school year begins, okay, this will be the start of year three for us. So the first couple years, it's really been just trying to introduce our program to the community and to help them understand who we are, what we're doing, and why it's a good thing for the community.
Sure.
And as we continue to get our name out there and continue to do things like this and just meet and get connected with other people and other organizations, they're really buying into what we're doing. They're seeing not only the, you know, the positive effects that it'll have now, but also on the future of our community. I mean, the kids that we're working with are the future employees, are the future community leaders. And yeah, so investing in them right now is really a smart thing to do. And people are starting to really support us in that way. So
you said it's K through 12 then?
Yes.
And are you going out and helping kids get jobs that are eligible to have jobs, like when they're about 15? Are some of them working in the, because you talked about these are the future. Are they, yep, some of them working in the community? Well?
Some of them are currently working in the community.
Awesome.
And, you know, we do things like we try to do a lot of stuff out in the community too. So one of the programs I started was something I call College Bound. So that's each year I take our group of middle and high schoolers and we go to Winona State for a tour, you know, get a whole campus tour. We eat there, everything. The kids get to see the dorms. They get to really, and not just Winona State, but St. Mary's, Southeast Tech, just all the different schools in Winona, so that they can visualize themselves there someday. Because a lot of these kids, as I mentioned, they will be first generation college students. They never thought college was something that could ever apply to them, or they could never see themselves there. And what I'm trying to do is for them to just to kind of break that you know, that misconception, so that they can visualize themselves in school and that they can accomplish whatever they want to accomplish.
That's really impactful for sure. I mean, taking them there just to, because they always say you got to visualize what you want.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you can't ever see that, you never know how to get there. And so that's a great thing. So then how does this work then? Do they just come there after, is it after school programs?
Yep.
Or what does it happen in the summer? Since we're in the summer month, I guess go over that right now. Since right now it's July going on August, what goes on in the summers then?
So we do have a summer program, Camp Impact. We run that. Well, this year we're running it the month of July. So right now it's taking place back at the center. You know, we have my assistant director and some other volunteers that are coordinating that right now. But we do have a scaled back summer program. But you know, our main full house is during the school year. So we formed a pretty good relationship with the public schools. And one thing I'll kind of plug us here. Last year we were actually given the Community Partner of the Year Award from the Winona Education Association. So to be recognized by our frontline community educators was a big deal to us.
Sure.
So the schools, you know, they're valuing what we're doing, and that's a huge honor for us, really. But anyway, we're an after school drop off location, so the buses will drop off right at the Impact Center.
Okay.
Every school in our area will do that. So the kids come in after school, they get signed in, and about the first half hour or hour basically of our program is just devoted towards homework. Helping the kids with that, or it's if they don't have homework, we spend time reading with them. We purchased reading curriculums. You know, that first hour is really going to be academic based, focused on education. After that, we'll go into we'll give all the kids a snack. You know, every night they come in, they're starving. You know, we provide a snack for them. After that, we have optional devotion time, which is something that I lead, which is important. And then after that is free time. So then the kids can, you know, play Xbox, PlayStation, pool, whatever, you know, the game tables, things like that. So it's a structured kind of schedule each night that we go through, but we want to make sure to kind of hit on all these different points because, again, we're trying to really help shape this child. Yeah. So it's working out.
That does sound really structured. I wasn't sure what it all entailed, if it's just like show up and just kind of do whatever, but I like that you have the structure in there. First hour, half hour is dedicated to homework, reading, and then you can go off and do your stuff, which that's the way it should be. You got to work first, then some reward afterwards, which is the fun part, you know, Xbox or pool or whatever it is.
Yep, exactly.
So what was it like your first day of doing this? I got to imagine it was just like, I don't know what's about to happen here.
Exactly. Yeah. We didn't know what to expect. You know, we had, I think it was 30-some kids registered when school started on September, I don't know what it was, September 6th or whatever, 2023. And by Christmas, we had over 90.
Wow.
So, yeah, it really grew, like, as the word got out. And so, at first, yeah, we didn't know what to expect. We had a pretty good plan going in. But I would say it exceeded kind of even our expectations.
Sure.
But thank God, you know, with all those kids, we have a lot of, you know, devoted volunteers. So basically what we get for volunteers mainly comes from the colleges. So we have a ton of college students that fulfill some of their class requirements by volunteering at the youth center. So the kids, the college kids come in and they're able to help the kids with homework. They're able to, you know, really be hands-on, you know, doing these things. And it's a benefit to our students at the Impact Center. And it's also benefits the college student, you know, that's able to not only hang out and play pool or help a child with homework, but also, you know, just hang out for a while. So it's really been a win-win for us and the colleges here.
Sure. Do you find that your volunteers are a lot of like education based people that are coming, getting into the education, or are they from all different backgrounds of majors that are coming in and helping out?
They're from all different backgrounds and majors. You know, we have a lot of, we have, from St. Mary's, for example, I think we had a lot of the men's hockey team there. We had the women's basketball team and hockey team. I mean, a lot of athletes, you know, a lot of people are really interested in helping kids, are really, you know, pouring into kids. And so even if someone just has an hour, 2 hours, and they want to spend it, you know, hanging out with some of our kids, you know, that we allow that. There's not like you don't have to be there from, you know, the opening to the ending every night. If you've got an hour, if you got 2 hours, whatever works in your schedule, you can come volunteer and, you know, make an impact.
Oh, that's kind of nice to do. There's no like set schedule. If you got a time in your day and you want to come help, that's what you do then, huh?
Exactly.
That's great. That's great. So then where did your passion come from wanting to help youth? Is it something that was a personal thing for you in your background, or is it just something you came to fall in love with?
It's something I think I came to fall in love with. First of all, I was blessed with great parents. So, you know, my mom and dad, I can't say enough, you know, about them and how fortunate I was to grow up with two great parents. But through my volunteer experience, I came into contact with a lot of kids that did not grow up in that fortunate situation. And I kind of mentioned a little bit of the reward that comes with, you know, building relationship with those kids and just kind of seeing how close you get with them. That's really what kind of lit me up with it was just the good feeling you get from really helping a kid succeed and achieve. And these kids remember you. These kids will always remember you. You know, they'll remember the part you played in their life. And I have some kids now that are, you know, graduated and they don't come to the center anymore, but they're working and I'll see them wherever their job is. And they'll be like, Hey John, these kids all take the time out to come up, or if it's at the Y or whatever. Yep. You know, these kids, every time I still see them, they still come up to me and make sure to ask me how it's going and what's up. And, you know, we should get together sometime. So this is something, you know, these relationships are very lasting.
Yeah, and I felt that too when I was teaching the middle school. It was like that was kind of the age where you can start making an impact on them. And then mm-hmm. when they're in high school too, where they start forming their own ideas and they see, oh, this person's helping me, where they can appreciate that. And I think that is always, for me, some people go, how'd you work in middle school? I could never do that. And I go, well, if you like the little kids, that's not really for me either. I'm the kind of guy that wants to, kind of like you, make an impact at this point in their life where they can say, oh, I appreciate that. No, they really care about me. They really trust me. They really want to help me. I like that idea. Yeah. That's my favorite.
And we do. We have it broken up. So my assistant director, her name's Alfreda Green. She mainly focuses on the elementary students. So,
okay.
And then my focus is mainly middle and high schoolers. So sure. Not that we don't cross, you know, and help each other and whatever, but it's just been easier with her and I working that way, and she's better with the littles and I'm better with the older kids.
Sure. So is it basically you two then that are doing the whole thing?
Well, we're the leads.
Okay.
And then we have, like I say, we have a solid volunteer staff that, you know, that, and that's made up not just college students but parents that are really passionate about it, grandparents, retired people, some retired teachers, people that are just, like I said, really interested in giving back and pouring into kids.
Sure. Yeah. So then where do you see the future of this going? I mean, you're only going on to what, year three, you said?
Yeah. Yep.
So where do you see the future of this? I assume with the success that you're having, you got to start seeing some sort of, okay, this has got to be next, because it sounds like you're growing pretty rapidly here. 90 kids, that's a lot, I feel.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I think, we're starting to get full. Our facility, you know, we're starting to almost max out at where we're at now. So I may be coming to Jacobson Realty and then say, hey, help me find a building.
But, we can do that for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But no, I think one thing we lack where we're at right now is like a gym space. You know, we don't have a gym there. So at some point, you know, in order to really take it to the next level, I think it's going to be, probably another facility.
Sure. Well, do you have like, do you ever have to turn kids away because there's too many, or
no, we haven't. And you know, the way it is set up right now, you know, we typically never have 90 kids there per night. You know, it depending on what after school sports are going on or what, you know, other things kids are involved in, you know, kids come on whatever nights they happen to be free and they can come. So it's not like, you know, you're registered for our program. You have to be there every night. Sure. So it's, you know, our average attendance would probably be anywhere between 30 and 50.
Well, that's still pretty good on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I could see how you'd outgrow that real fast. Yeah. You need some extra space for sure. Does it cost anything? I assume it doesn't cost anything. You just got to sign up.
Nope. Yep. Kids just need to register. Everything we do is for the kids is free. Free for them. But
sure.
So again, yeah, fundraising is a big part of this. It's a really big part of this. And right now is kind of our August, or it's July, August. We're really doing a lot, you know, getting out, I think, a lot of newsletters, a lot of, you know, hopefully giving type letters that we're trying to get out to the community, and hoping that the more we get out there, the more people will support us, because Like I said, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off for the whole Winona community.
Yes, and it always does. If something where people are passionate and want to help out the future of Winona or their own community, wherever that might be, it's always got to be a good, positive thing. I don't see how it could ever be a negative thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So then the reason I got a hold of you was because Steve Baumgart was on, and he said, get a hold of John. He would be great with the Impact Center. And then I saw the van at the YMCA parking lot and just stuck my card in there because I never really get to stop and say hi to you at the Y.
Yep.
So what do you do with the van then? Is that where you go on like field trips and stuff?
Yep, it's for field trips. It's also where we can help kids get rides home after the program ends at night. You know, most of the children that we work with, there's issues with the families where they don't have a vehicle or, you know, they don't have a working vehicle or something like that. So we're able to take kids home at the end of the night so that they don't have to walk in the middle of January, you know, and also yes, field trips or, you know, any types of other community outings that we go on. So that was such a huge blessing. Thank you to Al Toyota for that awesome van.
Oh, they donated that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That really helps out too for you.
Oh yeah.
And then I noticed the logo, which is on your hat that you're wearing.
Yeah.
Did you design that or someone else design it?
Yep. Well, I'm not very artsy, but I kind of drew out what I wanted it sort of to be. And then someone with much more talent than me was able to really form it into what I wanted.
Sure.
So yeah, we developed and designed the logo. Yeah.
Okay. So then what does since it was your idea for the logo and someone else kind of designed it, what was the idea behind the logo then? Cause to me, what I see, it looks like Jesus extending his hands.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And you know, as a person of faith, that's something that, was important to me to incorporate, and I just felt like this image is just like you say, Jesus with his arms open saying, come to me, all of you, you know, and let the little children come to me. So, it just came together. So, and that's a big part, you know, the faith-based part of it is something I like to, you know, explain. We're not affiliated with any particular church. We're non-denominational. We're just a non-denominational Christian organization. And, I feel it's important to incorporate devotion. Now, none of the children have to come to devotions. I mean, you don't even have to be a Christian to go to the Impact Center. But I do feel that it's important to incorporate that because I feel as a society, what I'm seeing with kids and what I have seen with kids is that if we don't also, we can help the children with all the education, give them all the educational resources we can possibly give them to set them up for success. But if we don't also help them build a moral foundation for their lives, they're only going to take all of those other opportunities and squander them.
Sure.
A child has to not only be educated, they have to know the basic right and wrong. And that's what I see missing in so many kids today. You know, you see, I mean, social media, that's a whole other topic right there. But, you know, kids, you know, jumping other kids and then recording it on their cell phone. And just, you know, why is that wrong?
Right.
You have to help a child understand, why is it wrong for me to hurt another person? Why is it wrong for me to cheat, even if I can get away with it?
Yeah.
You know what? You have to touch a child at that moral level and help them with education as well. But you got to do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you said, and you already beat me to my next question was, is this a faith-based place? And you said, yes, it is faith-based, but you don't have to. So you're kind of free will. Come on in if you want to listen to the devotion.
Right.
Which I always told, you know, I taught at St. Martin's. I always told the kids, forcing that down someone's throat will only make them resent it more in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so what you'll have to do is give them little bits and pieces. Don't say, you have to do this or else you're going to hell, or you have to do this or else this is going to happen. You have to let them kind of free will come on in, get little bits and pieces, and then you can start building a base on a good foundation. And as like you're saying, you got to figure out how to get to them so they morally know what's right and what's wrong and why it is. Because mm-hmm. the why is the hard part. Because we can go say, oh, yeah, killing someone is bad. But why is it bad?
Exactly.
You know? So I love that you have the devotion and it's optional.
It's optional.
And
it's really short. I mean, it's short too. I mean, 10 minutes. I mean, we don't sit in there for an hour, and I'm not pounding them with this for an hour. And really the kids today are, we're not hitting on like deep theological issues. I mean, they're not, mm-hmm. as you probably know, most kids today compared to, you know, years and years ago, they don't go to a lot of Muslim don't go to church, and sure. a lot of them don't even have any type of understanding or background in the Bible, you know. So we're really doing basic things. You're talking about basic issues. You know, God created you. He created you for a reason and a purpose. He has things for you to do here. And, you know, so when you really address things that way and let kids know that there's a meaning and a purpose to your life, you know, that's kind of the start of it, is to help them understand that yep. their life means something. They're not just here wasting time by chance. They're actually here for a reason.
Yep.
And there's a meaning and purpose to life.
Yeah, trying to find your purpose in life isn't always the easiest thing, especially when you're younger and you may come from maybe a broken background. You may think, well, why am I here? What good am I here? You know,
right?
And I understand that, and that's a very good thing that you have to figure that out. So then, I guess another question I have for you is, what do you think are some of the challenges that are happening nowadays? Because you kind of talked about, you know, back in the day people went to church a little bit more, but then we face challenges now where things are maybe, I would say, more relaxed. Mm-hmm. So you can go to church online. You can literally watch things online, which to me, that's a really cool thing, because you can still impact someone that maybe doesn't want to walk into the church, but they can still get church or religion on their phone from right in their own house. Some people feel differently about that, and it is what it is, but there's still the outreach there. So what do you think are some of the future or some of the challenges that kids are having now and maybe possibly in the future?
Well, you know, I think the social media thing is, I mean, it's like anything else. It can be a really good thing. I mean, look at this. We're doing podcasts, you know, but it can also be a really dangerous thing, you know. And so navigating that as a child is pretty difficult. And I think every parent or teacher will probably agree with that. So the social media thing, you know, the whole online internet thing is very touchy. It's very difficult. I mean, nowadays you've got, you know, 8-year-old kids addicted to porn. You know, it's like, it, no longer do you have to try to sneak into the barbershop to look at a Playboy. It's right on your phone. I mean, you know what I mean? So there's so many, the cell phone, it just opens up so many dangers.
Yep.
And so I think that is probably, that is the biggest challenge that I think that we face right now, or the kids face right now, is just trying to navigate through that and understand what is healthy, what is garbage, and just trying to gravitate towards the healthy stuff.
Yeah, and there's just so much access to everything nowadays. And I told students, I said, you can make things as good as you want or as bad as you want. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we're using technology right now to outreach to possibly kids that need this impact center. Right. There's a positive there, but then you said there's 8-year-old kids that may be addicted to porn, and that's something that blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then there's also the violence portion that people use social media for, to get clicks on videos by beating someone up out of the blue. I've seen that before. But I guess that is a challenge, because I was born in 87. So for me growing up, I was right at my wife and I like to say, we're right at that age where we were just getting into, like, the technology was kind of coming coming, but we were still the kids that played outside until, you know, you had to come in or whatever happened, or you went out and played a game of sports with someone. And I kind of always appreciated that, because I'm still the person that wants to go out and play sports. I still want to do that, but I still love my technology at the same time. So I felt like I was born right in the middle of that aspect where it's like, I still love my tech, but I still love going and playing a sport and beating someone for real.
Yep.
I always ask, because they go, how do you get excitement out of beating someone on a video game? I'm like, don't you want to, like, go and physically beat them by, like, outplaying them in a basketball game or something like that? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I totally get it, though. I'm like, video games are, I always tell kids, video games aren't bad, even though a lot of people say they are. I go, it's just how addicted you get to them or don't get addicted to them. I'm like, I grew up with video games all my life, but I was an only child and there was no online gaming at the time. So for me, it's pretty boring playing against the computer forever. So I always thought that was kind of, I grew up in a great era, I thought, which was fun, but I know that the tech can be a thing that kids can get addicted to. I mean, I catch myself scrolling through TikTok all day long and then all of a sudden my algorithms are, right now they're cameras.
Yeah.
Right now my algorithms are cameras. Oh, so that was hilarious. And it does. It knows what you want. It listens to you. The phone listens to me.
It can become like your friend almost, you know, and that's something also is that kids today, there's so many superficial relationships, you know, so many just online type relationships, but kids, I mean, all of us as human beings, I think we still crave real connection, real sure. true relationships, in-person relationships. And I think that's another reason why kids like to come to the center, because they get that one-on-one, or they get that personal relationship time that you just can't get through, you know, FaceTime or yep. whatever else it is.
Yeah, and I totally agree, because I was just saying this on a podcast a couple weeks ago. I've done interviews where I was watching them on a computer screen, and you just don't get the same feel for it. Not only are you trying to time them out, but you just don't have like the connection of you and me sitting here together where we're, yeah. there's something about that. And I don't know what it is. And I feel like some of the youth today, because it is so easy just to FaceTime someone or just text them, mm-hmm. and you don't actually have to learn how to talk to someone. And right. I always think that's so important, because you got to deal with people eventually in life for the most part,
exactly.
not always, but I always feel like that's one thing that is starting to get missing from the youth, is that they don't have they don't have the skill set to talk yeah. to someone like you and me.
Yeah.
But at the Impact Center, you said that a lot of kids, they come and they need that one-on-one, that personal connection time. And I would definitely agree with that.
They do. They do. Absolutely.
So what are some things that the Impact Center does within the community? Is there things that you guys help out with in the community, mm-hmm. or do the kids go and volunteer places at all?
Yep. So we do, we always participate in like downtown cleanups. So one of the big things we do in the springtime all the time, or walk around, we'll pick up garbage downtown. We also, every year we do the Feed My Starving Children. We send yeah. a team there. So we try to, you know, in our time slot, when we have the kids after school, we try to capitalize on whatever type of volunteer opportunities that we can do, because that's an important part of what we're talking with the kids about, is giving back. It's not just about you. You know, you need to think about other people. You know, it's not just about, you know, you receiving and you getting. It's about you giving, and it's about you, you know, giving some of your time to back to the community.
Sure. Yeah. Mm. Because hopefully they realize that the people that are helping them are, for the most part, volunteering that's their right. time. So they have to go and help volunteer and do some other things
that's right.
too.
Yep.
And that's great that you do some of those community things yeah. within the Winona community as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the, when you first started out, what were some of the challenges that you guys faced, or just maybe even you personally were facing on this?
Well, you know, we didn't know how the community would receive us. We didn't know the level of support that we would receive. You know, we don't charge anything for our program. So a lot of it is, we need the community to support what we're doing. So that was one thing we've been able to, you know, manage, you know, financially fine, you know, so that's a big thing. Another thing I would say is just putting a program together that engages the kids, you know, that so where we do accomplish some things, where we do work on academic, and then we also, you know, have devotion and things like that, but also make it fun enough for them to want to come back. So we try to do a lot of, you know, a lot of field trips. When we start up in the fall, we're going to go zip lining. We go horseback riding. We take the kids, you know, roller skating. We try to do quite a few like outings with the kids for field trips, just to kind of give them different, you know, fun things to look forward to. This past summer at the end of the school year, we took a trip to Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells. So we're always looking for opportunities to get out in the community and keep the program exciting for the kids.
Yep.
And I think that's important for them to want to keep, you know, coming back. So
one of the first things you said on that, you said you weren't sure how the community would receive you. What mm-hmm. was a fear that you had that the community might think?
Well, you know, I think there could be issues here. You know, again, we're dealing with a lot of kids that are coming from tough situations, and so there may be some issues in this child's family's background. You know, what type of kids are going to be occupying the center? Is this center going to be a place where they keep things tight and run strictly and well, or is this going to get out of hand, and is this going to become, you know, a place where kids come and misbehave and get in trouble, and the cops are coming, you know, being called and all that sort of thing? So we run a very, very, very tight ship
sure.
there. So when the kids came in on and first get registered for the Impact Center, I sit down with them and we sign what's called a character contract. And we go over right from the start, this is what's acceptable. This is what's not acceptable. If you can't agree to this, let's not waste each other's time.
Okay.
So we lay it out right there. And that's from elementary kids all the way up to high schools. So we're old school when it comes to that.
That's
and
good.
You know, my assistant director, Miss Frida, the kids will tell you that their famous phrase is, Miss Frida don't play. She does not play. And neither
good.
Do I. And that's the type of place we run, and we keep it that way, and the kids know if you know you're not going to go to the impact center and cause trouble. That's
sure.
just not the place you're going to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. So you do a character contract. Now if they break it, is there forgiveness that they can possibly come back, or once you break it, it's
there's potential to come back depending on the offense, but you know, there's suspension. There'll be a mm-hmm. suspension. And sometimes kids have to miss a field trip, or sometimes, you know, privilege, you know, it's consequences to things in life. Just, you know, that's something kids got to learn too.
Yep.
You know, my, what I always tell the kids is I tell them, and not to be over dramatic, but decisions you make today can affect you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
You know, and so it's important to think things through before you do, man. And if you do mess up, you're going to have to pay whatever that consequence is. And so.
Yep. That's what I always told my students, because they're seventh and eighth graders. I said, little kids, first graders, they act out. They just do whatever the first thing on their mind is. Mm-hmm. I said, you guys have to sit back and say, should I say that? Should I do that? And then if so, what's the possible outcome of this? And that's exactly what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Now I want to go back to, you said you had your fears of what the community might think.
Mm-hmm.
What is some of the feedback that you've gotten so far then?
Well, it's been really positive. So again, I mentioned how we were recognized by Winona Area Public Schools. So that was huge. I mean, that was such a boost to our confidence that they see value in what we're doing, and they
sure.
see value in, you know, the kids that we're working with and what we're helping accomplish there. You know, we're helping. We purchase reading curriculums every day. We're reading with a lot of these elementary kids students and helping them improve each day. You know, you know yourself. I mean, teachers are overwhelmed. You know, class sizes are huge, and how can you help one child? If your class is a size of 30, you know?
Right, yep.
So thank God we have the college kid, a lot of the volunteers, we can spend one-on-one time with children reading. So again, you know, we're producing some really positive results. And the more that those results are getting out to different community members and businesses and things like that in our community, the more support that comes in.
Sure.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now you talk about Miss Frida, is that correct?
Miss Frida.
Okay. Who is she then? I would like to know more about this lady.
Miss Frida,
who does not play.
She don't play. Yeah. Yeah. So she is someone, you know, she's someone that I came across through in a different, we were both part of this, a different organization at the time. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago, something like that. But we had the same type of passion for kids. She's really passionate about like the younger age kids, like I mentioned, but both of us had a passion for kids, and she just kind of, her and I just gelled. I mean, I don't know what it was. I truly, as I said, I'm as a man of faith, I believe it was a God thing, but we came together and I said, hey, I got this crazy idea. And so I brought it to her and I told her I was trying to start a nonprofit. And another family friend of mine, a man named Gary Evans, who's pretty well known in our community as well, he helped us get started. He helped us form a nonprofit and actually become a 501c3. So we got started there, but even though we had the designation, it was still just, you know, Miss Frida and myself.
Okay.
And we didn't have a facility. We didn't have any money. All we had was, hey, this idea. We'd love to do this.
Sure.
Well, what happened was, a little while later, my path crossed with Carla Burton, who was at the time the executive director of Grace Place downtown.
Okay.
And she was looking to retire, and so she. She actually pitched the idea to me, John. You know, I think you might be a good replacement. You know, what would you think about taking over my position here and running this nonprofit? And at first, I turned her down. I said, thank you, I appreciate that, but I'm full speed ahead on my youth center vision, and that's really what I want to do. And she kind of came back with, well, you know, we do have a building downtown, and you know, maybe the two could work together, and you could maybe somehow do both. And so what I did, I went to the board of directors there at Grace Place after a lot of thought and consideration. And I said to them, I'll accept this position at Grace Place under two conditions. Number one, you have to allow me to continue to pursue my youth center. And number two, you have to bring my ministry partner, Alfreda Green, with me. And so they gave me both. And so we moved into Grace Place, and that's kind of how we got the facility part of it. And it just, like I said, things just started falling into place. Really.
So it started snowballing and just kind of took, because I'm looking at some, I'm on the Facebook page here, and I'm looking at some of the things you guys do. I see you guys gone out on the river. It looks like on Ripper's boat.
Yep.
That's got to be a fun one. I always like that one.
Great.
Looks like you guys had gift giving. It looks like there's, I want to say Christmas time.
Yep. So that's... So Fastenal has been really good to us.
Okay.
And the last two Christmases, they've really kind of sponsored a big Christmas party for us. So, that was a huge thing too.
That's awesome. Now, does your family help out with this too? Because I thought I saw some of your kids actually in some of these photos.
Yep. So my kids are there. They help out sometimes. I'm careful not to push it and force it on them, you know, like,
sure.
You know, well, this is my thing, so you've got to, you know, this has to be your thing too. Kids can kind of resent that too.
Yep, but, I understand.
You know, so I'm, it's open to them. They're here. They come a lot, you know, my wife included, but it's become a family thing for sure.
Well, so now as we're starting to kind of wind down here, I got some questions for you personally.
Yeah.
As you've started this now, what do you think is your biggest strength personally doing this, and what is one of your things that you need to work on maybe better at doing with this?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Self-evaluation here.
Yeah. I think the way that we are, that we're structured, I think, you know, I look around your facility here and I say, this is organized. This is structured. You can tell that, you know, a lot of thought and planning goes into that. And that's kind of how I'm wired too.
Okay.
I'm very organized. To a fault sometimes, you know, the overthinking, but you know, I'm very organized, very structured. I think we have a very solid plan. We have a solid foundation. And now we're just at a point where we just need to continue building upon it. Challenges. You know, I think the challenge for a nonprofit is always going to be funding. You know, I mean, that's just something, it's such a competitive, you know, nonprofit world. You know, we're all, you know, fighting, not fighting literally, but we all need the money. We all need the dollars.
Yes,
and everybody's, you know, going after the grants and that. So I think that's going to always be the challenging part, but I think we do have, kind of a good angle at that, with that we're focused on the youth of our community, on the future of our community.
Sure.
So I think we have a good angle to come at that.
Okay.
From.
That's awesome. So then what is your background? Because you said this hasn't always been what you've been doing. I mean, this has only been going on year three here.
Yep.
So there was a time before this that John had. What were you doing prior?
Yeah, so I was a production supervisor at Riverside Electronics.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was formerly Riverstar. Okay, I worked at the Winona facility, but I spent 20 some years working there, and you know, just really I would say that I learned a lot there as far as how to manage just a lot of different management skills and developing a lot of people skills and how to deal with conflict. And just, I feel like, you know, in that manufacturing setting, even though it's so much different from what I do now, a lot of those people skills and what you're dealing with, you know, translated to how I have to lead an organization now, you know. And so anyway, yeah, I did that. And then I just did, you know, like I said, youth volunteering. That was just the volunteer thing I did, you know, on the side. But again, my dream was to figure out how to make this my occupation. And thank God it happened for me. So.
Do you find it easier to work with adults or work with kids?
you know, that's another good question. I love working with kids. I think it's, you know, although it can be very frustrating, and some days, you know, you ask yourself, am I getting through? Am I making any difference? Is anything I'm saying being even listened to here?
Right.
But then you get that one or two circumstances or children that you see it click. You see it. Even when they don't know you're watching them, you see them make the right decision. And you're like, yep, that's
they heard something.
They heard something, yeah. You know, and that's rewarding enough. So, you know, what I'm doing now is what I call my dream job. You know, and it's not obviously about money because there's no money in what we do, but it's making a difference in people's lives. Like I said, these kids are going to remember us for the rest of their lives, and I can't really think of anything more meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just trying to make an impact on one person is awesome, but it sounds like you guys are making an impact on many kids, and it just keeps growing. So that's really got to be a really rewarding thing, and now you just need to keep growing with literally buildings, it sounds like.
Exactly.
And that's the toughest part is finding, well, I know it, gym space. Yeah. That's the toughest part to find is where can we take kids to go do some activities? But it sounds like you guys are taking them off campus to do horseback riding, and that sounds like, I mean, not many kids get to experience horseback riding unless you're really into equestrian. So that's kind of like a cool thing. I think that a lot of kids, they've never had the opportunity to go horseback riding.
Right.
I mean, that's just one thing. Going to a water park, I mean, we have a water place in town here, but going to the Kalahari is a different story. I mean, that's a lot of fun. I mean, we've taken kids there for the class trips and stuff. So what's one of your favorite activities that you guys do off campus?
I think one of the favorites for everyone is the horseback. We take a trip to the farm, and not only do we get to a horseback ride, we get to, you know, the kids get to hold little baby chickens and you know, pet the cows and all that. And for them, I mean, none of these kids are farm kids. I mean, these are all, you know, city kids, most of them from, a lot of them from, you know, either Twin Cities, Chicago area, where they've never even been exposed to a lot of animals like this. And, you know, to see their, you know, reaction to that and to being able to do some of the things that we're doing with them is pretty cool. So
that's awesome. So have you had any, like, difficulties where a kid just couldn't get through to him, and then all of a sudden one day just you got through this person and they just understood what you were saying? Do you have anything that comes to mind just off the top of your head in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I've definitely seen behavior turnarounds from some of the kids. And it's really cool to see. You know, I can remember a certain boy that I was like, boy, I hope he doesn't sign up for Impact. Because I knew about him, you know.
And that's probably the kid that needs Impact the most.
And he signed up for Impact. His mom signed him up for Impact. But you know what? When he came in after we sat down and we went over the character contract and stuff like that, he learned that this was no joke. This kid was, he was one of the best behaved kids there. And I was just, you know, that helped me understand, like, there's no kid that I'll turn away. I mean, even, you know, some of these kids, what they've done before, done in their past, you know, what counts to me is what you, from the day I meet you, how you treat me, how you treat the people in my organization, and how we do going forward, you know, because in the past, everybody has messed up. Everybody's messed up. What matters now is today.
Sure.
And going forward. So, yeah.
Well, as we're about to end this, is there any lasting words or any thing that you would like someone to know about the Impact Center that we didn't discuss or I didn't go over at all?
Not that I can really think of. You know, I would, you know, if anybody's interested in just coming down and, you know, taking a look at our facility in action, you know, especially when we start up here, September 3rd will be our opening day here for the school year. You know, I invite you to come down, check it out, see how we operate, see the structure, see how we go through the progression of our night and hit on these different things. If not that, check out our website, www.impactyouthcenter.com. You'll get a lot of information there too. But again, we're just trying to, we're still not trying to get the word out to our community, about who we are, what we're doing, and build that trust. So.
Sure. For those who are listening out there, I'll plug that in the show notes down below. So you can just go down and click on the website. I'll also link the Facebook too, for those who are listening as well, in case you have more information. That's the easier way for you to look at it, but it is local here in Winona. So if you're listening somewhere else outside, it's probably not going to apply to you. However, the idea of what John and the Impact Center are doing, that can apply to anyone within the whole entire world, especially our United States too, and some of those inner city areas. We don't have a huge community. Like, we're not Chicago. Mm-hmm. We have about 30,000 people in our community, but mm-hmm. still, these places are needed for kids that are underprivileged and need this help. And for those who want to volunteer, I mean, they're not going to turn you away, even if it's only for an hour.
That's right.
Come on in and spend some quality time with kids and even help them as well.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, for those who are listening here, make sure you like, share, subscribe, and 5-star this podcast, or even comment on something that was maybe interesting for you. And if you could share it with your friends, that really helps out the most to get this podcast out there. And just learn something new every week. We got someone different coming on in. But I want to thank John one more time for coming on in.
All right, man.
Give him a cheers with our Diet Pepsis.
All right, appreciate it.
We'll see you guys next week. Cheers.
All right, cheers.